Yo, what's good? We back with another episode of the Stats First Facts podcast where men lie, women lie, numbers lie, but the facts don't. And when we up here, that's all we speak. I'm your host, Ian, and I got my boy up here with me, Shane. What's good with you, Brody?
What's good? Got through another round of good old NBA playoffs, and I'm ready to talk.
For sure. We just 1v1 in the day. And Brian not here today. Right. No third guest. So we about to run through the games. But first, give our recaps of what happened in the semifinals. So we had Knicks and Heat. Heat won in, was it six or five?
I
don't
remember that. I want to say it was six.
Yeah,
Just to put some respect on their name, but
it might have been five. No, it was six. Brunson balled out that second to last game. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Heat in six. We corrected ourselves last week because on the first time we predict, or at least when I was predicting the series, I had Knicks in six. I thought the Knicks were too deep, but the whole time Tibbs didn't play his rotation as usual. Jimmy was Jimmy, and that's really it. The Knicks just aren't, they need that other player. Julius Randle just still is not that number one on a playoff team. Brunson balled out, though, like for sure. He's earned a lot of my respect, even though that doesn't mean much. He's learned a lot of my respect this year because he's been hooping. I want to talk a lot of these teams that definitely got eliminated. I want to talk about what's next for them. For the Knicks, like, I think, I don't know if you want to trade Randle, because at the same time, he's coming off a 25-10 season. Like, he's had a great season. It's just the playoffs. But it's like, who do you give up? And y'all remember before the playoffs started, I said I would want RJ, OB, Evan Fournier, and some picks for Jimmy Butler. I don't think there's any way the Knicks and Heat make a trade after just playing each other in the playoffs. So, no. I think the only things you can do is still that those moves, though. Fournier has made it publicly clear he wants to be out of there. He said Tibbs didn't play him at all, and he's too good for that, basically. OB, same thing. Not publicly, but OB needs some playing time somewhere. And RJ just needs a fresh start because he's just not that good in New York. So a package of them three can bring back some type of good player to put with Randle and Brunson. But other than that, the Heat are on this great run. They're on 8 seed. They were the playing team. And they're looking good, or at least Jimmy is. And that's really it, all I got to say. So, Shane, Heat Knicks.
Yeah, just to start, you know, we're going to go into Brunson. I definitely think he is one of the best plug-and-play guys out there. I think, you know, when we talk about building teams, a lot of it can come down to chemistry. And I guess just being, you know, a likable player. I mean, he doesn't have a huge rep in the league already. All he did so far was share the ball with Luka, which obviously isn't the easiest thing to do. Based off what happened when Kyrie got there. So, for him to be semi-successful in Dallas, I mean, they're better than what they were this past year after losing Brunson because they didn't want to pay him. And he went over to New York, over in the East, did his thing, and he looked really good. I mean, I definitely like Brunson. We talked last podcast a little bit about who he was better than. I think we still got our rankings right because
We said he wasn't top 10, but
yeah, but he's
fresh.
Right on the brink of it. What's next for elimination team? Knicks for now. I think, like what you said, makes the most sense getting some kind of package. I just don't think all three will go for a really good player, which is the only probably.
You don't think so? For a team, I mean, when you're for something like that, it would have to be a team that's trading their star and looking to rebuild. Who would you toss,
Trey? They don't want to trade nobody, but yeah.
RJ's young, Obi's young, Fournier's a vet, but it's like you can keep a good vet around, and he's a shooter. So, like, he's not going to make the – obviously, whoever gets these players will be tanking, but it's like Fournier will make it look a little better.
I feel like they wouldn't have – well, I know Fournier does not want to go to no tanking-ass team. I feel like he needs to go in the team.
He needs to play.
I feel like I know a team in the playoffs right now that could use him, but everyone can honestly use a three-point shooter, but – Lakers, honest, easily. I mean, but they need everything all the time, so I don't even want to the Lakers can use everything. I just don't see him. Because like you said, if you're talking about rebuilding, it's probably better than making it to the playoffs and not getting minutes. So, I mean, because he spent most of his career on the Magic, right? Was it the Nuggets? Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, because he kind of bounced around.
No, it wasn't the Magic for most of the time.
And, I mean, he would definitely be one of the forgotten names. But, yeah, I mean, it's just what it is at this point.
What about those three and picks for Cat?
I feel like the Timberwolves are about to be in a fucked position for a lot of years because...
Gobert.
Yeah, they did all that for Gobert, and now why would you trade the... Clearly, he's the lesser piece of that big three, unfortunately.
If you call that a big three.
If they're too big.
It's a big one, it's just ass.
So it's just, you definitely don't put yourself further in the hole. I don't think those guys like help you out. It would hurt Ant's morale, but obviously him hooping with Gobert is probably hurting it himself, knowing it's an ancient, because you know how he's very, it just seems like they're both two completely different players, and their personalities, I know they don't mesh well, because he's like very out. I don't want to say outgoing, but he's very self-confident in himself. He knows what he likes. He knows what he's capable of doing. He does not like bums, I think. I feel like no one really likes bums, but he seems like a dude that's like, he don't like Rudy Gobert. It's a clear fault in what he does on the court, and that I just wouldn't like that. It's like playing with Ben Simmons. Like, you quote-unquote hoop, but like, you're so limited, like, Vanderbilt even, but at least he provides a really, his value is. So, but I'm not going to stay on that too. I don't know what to do with that three from the Knicks plus picks. I'm trying to think of another team that maybe, I just don't think it'd be rebuild. Maybe they shoot into the Trailblazers about to be rebuilding for sure. But,
yeah, but they got a point. Knicks got a point guard, Brunson. But you didn't hear me say, what about Beal? We probably wouldn't even need the picks. RJ, Obi, and Fournier for Beal.
Yeah, but I mean,
gives you a score in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's, he'd be hurt, so I don't know. But it's just,
you still got Quickly and Grimes too.
Yeah, no, the Knicks they're not done. They're for sure not done. They just have to figure out what to do with those people around Randall or what to do with Randall. I don't think they should move on necessarily. I do think he is a key piece on a contender. We said that before. We just don't think he's definitely not the first option. And based off the past series, he's not even the second option. So it is what it is. I mean, he's a really good basketball player. He's just not a good scoring option in the playoff. So, to the Heat, not much to say. I really hate the roster. I don't know how they even really made it past, but we know how. But Jimmy really just got that dog in him. He's going to be gassed, though. I mean, he's playing 40 minutes every game. I don't know how long he can keep it up. So I hope the Heat move, but I think this is where they meet their end.
All right, we could stay in the East and go to the Sixers and Celtics series. Right, what a series that was, and what debate this caused in the aftermath. Philly went up 3-2, and Jason Tatum went completely off in the fourth quarter, game six, because he was cold before that, and he led them to the win to tie the series. And I think after the series was tied, we all knew that Boston would win back home in the Garden, of course. But it was in the fashion they did it. It was tied 55-55, and I think they went on like a 28-5 run, something like that.
Yeah, something
like that. And the Celtics just put, like, Tatum had 51. Celtics put their foot on the Sixers' neck. Al Horford completely strapped and beat hard and was cold. And it brings up the point again that these two guys are so similar in narratives. You had for years, these guys are both getting snubbed for MVP. And then they finally get it, and people call it the, okay, here, you can have it award. When these two guys get it, they both have similar playoff history, whether it be getting injured or just not showing up or being cold and not winning in elimination games. Like, Embiid never made it out the second round.
Yeah.
And Harden's just, he doesn't show up. But to the outside, he doesn't show up. In these big games. But it's like, I don't know what it is. He gets cold. But that's also... I'm everybody knows me, and I'm a defensive guy. Like, we got to give credit to defense, too. Because it's not like, throughout his career, they know what to do. Like, game seven against the Warriors, they double-teamed Harden, and his teammates could not hit. That was a game they went, like, 0 for 28 for 3, something like that.
It's on Rockets Harden,
yeah,
right?
Rockets yeah. Harden. So, it's like, no matter what, yes, it never looks good, but I feel like we all have to
respect the team. I mean, it's coaching.
Right, it is coaching. Like, Doc Rivers is not a, is not that good of a playoff coach, it seems like. Like, seems. His track record. His career seems like it's holding on to that 08 ring in Boston. Like, that's what... Other than that, it's like he just keeps blowing leads. Even though it's not a 3-1 lead, 3-2 is still a good enough lead to close things out, especially when you're up 3-2 at home. The next game's at home, and you couldn't do that. Boston, they were my team to win the championship anyway. They're super deep, super talented. Jason Tatum is a little inconsistent, but at the same time, he can afford to be because the team around him is so deep. You have Brogdon, Derek White hitting threes, Marcus Smart, of course, Jaylen Brown, Horford, Rob Williams, Grant Williams. Like, that team is super deep, and Tatum shows up when he needs to. Like, game six, fourth quarter, came back with a dub, 51 points in game seven. Like, he really shows up when he needs to on both sides of the ball. He's not just an offensive player. So, shout out to Boston, and we'll do the prediction later, but it is Boston and Miami in the conference finals. So, Shane, Miami, Boston. I mean, sorry.
76ers. Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you made that point about them being so similar. I never really even thought about it like that. But I did want to – he's definitely facing them. Like, this is definitely one of the biggest, I want to say, like, fallouts after a playoff, like, series I've seen. Which is crazy. I think really mainly because he won the MVP. I don't think it'd be such a big thing because now they're bringing out no MVP has never not made it to the conference finals. People don't even know if that is specifically true. I don't
know. No, it's yeah. The way they phrase it though is different, but it means career wise. He's the only MVP that never played in the conference finals in his career.
Yes, not like Jordan who has made it in one finals, but they definitely
right. It's like Joker made MVP last year, but didn't make the conference finals.
Yes,
like,
but he's made it before.
Right, Giannis got MVP, got lost in the first round before.
Like, yeah, so they, yeah. Like that definitely. It's just so like that recency media is so crazy. It's really kind of bad. I think the fact that where we're at, I think social media wise, where honestly almost everybody is given a platform. And sometimes I'm not mad that people have it. I just wish they don't tarnish it and, like, just either spread misinformation or give, like, they're giving takes just for, like, sensationalism. And I just don't think it's fair for the average. Like, you know, we did people talking about experts and casuals and who's who. And it just doesn't make sense when, I guess, I don't know, like, people can, like, the narratives they push it are just so bad. Like, just sure. After it, it's immediately after a game. Like, before, I guess, when the old heads were watching, like, you don't have that. Like, you probably linked after the day after when you watched the game with your people, talked about it or whatever. Now it's the end of the first quarter. Damn, the Lakers need to get it to. Like, it's really like you don't even give it a chance to breathe, marinate, watch it bad, like, important things. And, yeah, so this is really just highlighting a lot of flaws. But now, I will say some of it's warranted. So, to get back to the topic. Embiid, his regular season scoring was like 34 or 33 points per game. He dropped down to like 24 in the playoffs. Is this mainly because he's not getting the foul calls as he would?
It's not an excuse, but it's real, but it. I heard Paul George talk about it on the clip too, but it is injuries. Like, I'm pretty sure, this is a day after they got eliminated, but I'm pretty sure tomorrow, Wednesday, it's going to be some news that he is playing on a torn meniscus. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, a couple years ago, I would laugh that off. Like, I know people got mad at Shaq and Charles Barkley for laughing at AD, yeah. But it's like, yeah, I would just be like, bro, you just making excuses. Like, of course you say that when you lose, but PG's like, no, that's real. He was like, it was one time when he couldn't lift his shoulders above his head. Like, he couldn't lift them up at all. And they needed him for a game. So they gave him shots in his ass and all that. So he could actually just to put his shoulders above his head. Mm-hmm. And he said that was his first time touching the ball in over a month. And he just had to go out there and play. He said that was a series against Portland when Dame hit that shot.
That's crazy.
He was like, but that's real. Like, we don't think about that. And that's obviously it is a reason to why Embiid is not playing the way he is, but at the same time it's like not tough it out. Like it's hard, it's a touchy subject. Yeah. Like it's like you don't want to tell him tough it out. You got to be understanding, but it just sucks that these injuries do happen because that is what it is. Like a fully, not saying they would have beat Boston, but they still took him to Game 7. But he did miss the first game of the series because he was hurt. Mm-hmm. Remember last round, he said this is a 6-week injury minimal.
Oh yeah,
and he only missed like a game last round. So it's like he's
doing his best. Oh yeah, because he won it, and then they were like, "I'm back," and I think they rushed it. Like they really were. And then Harden also had the crazy game one because he stole it, right? Yeah, like that's the whole series. Like, I really feel like I know we don't like. It was such a joke maybe a couple months ago, but honestly, bruh, they just handed the niggas script before the playoffs, bruh. Like Lakers, Celtics finals. Not saying that's my prediction, but it's like, all right, guys, here's what we're gonna do. Let's make it look real believable. Let's give everyone their storylines. It literally just feels like not reality TV show, but like. These paths that people are going, like Tate, of course Tatum shoots 1-for-10 in possible elimination games, and he just drops 16 in the fourth quarter. I'm like, bro, when I be seeing it, it's like, bro, like I can not predict what's going to happen, or else I have a lot more money in sports betting. But you know, it really just seems like some of this stuff is scripted of how it plays out. Like, so I mean, that's probably the point I want to make about the Sixers. Really, just Embiid. It was nice to see Harden have those. It was mainly maybe two standout games. I mean, he hooped, but he had some really bad ones too.
Off the top of my head, I don't remember, but it was like games 1 and 4. I think it was whatever game, two games he went off. It was like he had 80 plus points, and the rest of the games he had 60 plus points. And it was like, God damn.
Yeah, like it's just, and that's honestly, that's just the. LeBron effect, I want to say, because isn't Harden like 30?
He's 33.
Yeah, 30. I mean, 40-point game or however many point game and at 33. I mean, I know he hasn't, like, lost it. He played the full season, basically, after dugging it in New York. But, like, I mean, I don't know, man. You're not supposed to get out there and have those bad. Like, game 3 and 4 were pretty bad. They're not supposed to be that bad, but it comes with the territory of how he plays. So... it's not a big surprise when he does go cold and the team is not picking him up like Tatum. The same thing happened. Tatum goes cold. It's still a winnable game for the Celtics, but Harden goes cold. Or Embiid, you know, sits out a couple minutes because he's dealing with some type of possible meniscus tear or whatever. And they just can't tough it out because they don't have the roster that the Celtics do. But it was nice to see, you know, 76ers actually look like they might have made it to the finals or at least have a chance or see some type of success, but I think they still might have a little bit of work to do come next year. What's next for them, as you say, for elimination or eliminated teams?
Yeah, so this one's tough. Obviously, we know I got into a heated debate today about Harden, but being real, like I didn't defend Harden dropping 9. Like that is inexcusable, regardless. But
sure,
Philly also knows what Harden they got. Like he didn't show. Ever since he got to Brooklyn, he never showed that Houston Harden anymore. Like, the Houston Harden is gone, and people got to realize it comes with age. Like, Shane just said, the LeBron effect. We got spoiled with seeing a player stay healthy and extend his prime. But in reality, look at the 90s. And I know medicine's changed and all that, but still, look at the 90s and all that. Look how the stars' stats changed when they turned 32. Barkley and Shaq and all the... I know Shaq turned 32 later, but all the players, it's 32, I heard, is usually the decline of stars, and that's real. James Harden, like, he's an elite playmaker at this point. I didn't think he had a 40-point game in him. I think he had basically two.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a hard player to... He's really a hard player to root for and defend and all that because of what happens. Like,
he's liable to... Take that out.
He's liable to do things like drop 9 points in an elimination game. So, it's hard. Like, I'm not a Harden fan, but I do defend him a lot because I hate how the media portrays him. Like, I really do. But I'm not I hate his play style. I don't like the ISO. I don't play like that when I hoop. But I don't like that. But he's made a career of that. Like, that is who Harden is. Future Hall of Famer. Man, won MVP. I talked to Mo's dad today about the Kyrie and Harden situation. Mm-hmm. He was like, it's Harden, it's not even close. It's Harden. He was like, I'm surprised he said this, but he was like, Harden could play in any era. Like, he's a super strong guard. I know people wouldn't like me saying that. I was so surprised. Because he's one of those, you know, Jordan is clearly better than LeBron. He said Larry Bird's better than LeBron. Oh. So, him just saying a player can fit in any era is surprising. So, he was like, yeah, James Harden can, but Kyrie couldn't. Like, he's going to be flashy, but that's not going to work in the 80s, 90s. But James Harden's so strong, and it's true. Like, I saw him against the Celtics, game one and two. I saw him physically just body Al Horford. Like, not Marcus Smart. He's bodying Al Horford. Because he's a huge guy. He's strong as shit. So, but the question is, what's next for them? It's hard. I don't think it's any... I'm going to say it's 85% chance he's gone. Harden's gone. I don't see why he would stay in Philly. Like, they don't have enough to win. Maxie needs to develop. And just cap situation. Like, Tobias is on a max. I don't think any team's going to take him. So, it's really hard. I really think if Embiid did not win MVP, he would demand a trade now. Because Doc Rivers is going to be gone. And then it's like, okay, so what do we do with Tobias' contract? PJ's old at this point, no offense. James Harden's probably gone, so it's like, do we run a running back with just Tobias and Maxey? But I feel like because it's Philly, you know how the fans are there. Like, I've never seen an MVP get MVP that year and then leave. I think Bron might have did it. He might have gotten MVP in Cleveland and then left. Maybe, might be wrong. But it was. He won MVP, then D Rose, then him twice in a row. Mm-hmm. So, but it's rare that MVPs leave the same season. And it's ironic that the player that is still in the playoffs, Jimmy Butler, was on Philly. Because I think that's the perfect player next to Embiid. He's somebody that's going to hold Embiid accountable. And he's also somebody that's not going to show up. Like, he's going to give it his all, unlike James Harden. Or even when he's not healthy, like, he's going to go out there and still do what he needs to do, be a decoy. Like, we saw that. We saw him in the corner against the Knicks just practicing jump shots. Being a decoy. James Harden is rumored to go back to Houston. I don't understand that. I guess he just loves Houston. But I tweeted today, I think that would make him the least liked player almost ever. Like, I might be really wild for saying this, but this might be somewhat worse than the KD to the Warriors thing. Obviously not from a change in the league winning-wise, but just person and narrative-wise. Because you bitched and moaned and did all this stuff to get out of Houston. You gained weight and said this team ain't it. When you just got a new coach, you just got John Wall and Boogie, you didn't even give it a chance. Like, you was just like, and Christian Wood, you didn't even want to give that a chance. He was like, nah, I'm out. Which is messed up. And you go to Brooklyn, you're a year there, not really healthy, your hamstrings always messed up. And then you're like, okay, not here. This ain't for me either. Now Philly. You're still a good player, but that fit is still kind of weird in Philly. So it's like, I don't know. I really don't know what you're trying to get at this point. You've made the bag already in Houston. You were racking up. You kept extending. They kept giving you different contracts every year, just giving you more money. So I don't know what you're trying to do. In Houston, you're clearly not trying to win. Must be the off-court stuff. Yeah. And the other team he's rumored to go to is Phoenix, which shows that it was really – the problem is either Brooklyn or Kyrie if he's willing to reunite with KD.
Yeah. Yeah, that like I said, like, storylines, man, like, that is a crazy, I guess, even concept for him to even, if he were to go back to Houston, that definitely doesn't make sense. I think either you said it or you put a tweet out there, like, he literally left Houston, like, a coach got fired inadvertently, just getting caught in the hazards, like. Because, you know, I'm not big on, you know, how the coaching movements happen.
I got in an argument with a Rockets fan today on Twitter when I tweeted that. They was like, bro, Steven Silas wasn't a good coach. He wasn't a good rotation-wise. And he's the worst coach in history. And they pulled up the stats and it was like, he has the worst winning percentage in history. I'm like, well, what do y'all?
That team's ass.
Right, what do you expect? He came in there basically for James Harden. James Harden left like 2 months into the training camp. Was like, yeah, I don't want to be here. So it's like, what do you want from him? So yeah, I don't think the Rockets were going to the finals either way. But it's like, yeah, bro, if he was there, Steven Silas would not be known as the worst coach or have the worst winning percentage ever. Like, James Harden affected a lot of people with that.
And how, and like, so where did he? What is this? If you know, like, close, something off the top of your head, like, it was it just one season or what?
What, with The Rock? Yeah. With Steven Silas? No, yeah. He got hired the year James Harden left.
So, who did they bring in? Jalen Green? Or is it after, before Jalen Green came?
So, the timeline was, so D'Antoni gets fired. Mm-hmm. They signed Steven Silas, who was the assistant coach on the Mavs, with mm-hmm. Luka and all them. Training camp comes. They get, they trade Russ for John Wall.
They trade Russ for Wall, right? Mm-hmm.
Bring in Christian Wood and Boogie Cousins.
On the Rockets?
Yeah, on the Rockets. Then James Harden in training camp says this team is not good enough. Uh-huh. In training camp, gains a lot of weight, and he demands a trade. They don't trade him. They make him play in the first couple games, yes. And you saw his effort was just not there. Right. He was not trying. And then he goes to Brooklyn. And Steven Silas is left with Victor Oladipo, who probably played like 10 games with them. A backcourt of John Wall and Vic, who played like 15 to 20 games total.
That literally is a black part of it.
They cut Boogie. You still have C-Wood. So.
Yeah, and then now he went to the Mavs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's clearly getting caught in the crossfire. I don't – even just hearing the recap, right? If you watch basketball, you know these players, like, that's a bunch of injury-ridden guys that just got on. It's like a fucking high school reunion of Kentucky players, probably. Because Wall, no.
Wall and Boogie played.
Yeah, Wall, Boogie.
They've been trying to play together their whole careers.
Yeah, so it's like, right, we're not going to not gonna go and say, yeah, this guy's the worst because he doesn't know how to coach. Dude didn't have anything to coach with. So, yeah, I personally don't know what's next for the Sixers. Now, back to the whole topic of the conversation. If Harden went to Phoenix, yeah, I'd say it has to be the ownership in Brooklyn or Kyrie. And honestly, I'm a Kyrie fan, but it's possible that wherever he goes, like, I gotta figure out the word, but whenever everything just starts going, turmoil follows. There it is. Turmoil falls wherever Kyrie goes, because every single organization has gotten significantly worse, aside from the LeBron years of Kyrie being there.
Boston, not Boston. Then they improved when he left.
I mean, yeah, when he left, no, like when he left.
Yeah,
yeah, because he gets there.
They were the number one seed before he got there.
Yeah, it was okay. Then they're like, "Yo, let's just add Kyrie," and then it's like.
Yeah, Braun beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, they lose their value immediately. But, yeah, so I guess that probably wraps us up for the East, because I don't even want to dwell on the Sixers. I mean, it was a good series to watch, but we probably ain't going to get anything like that from Embiid again unless they do something crazy in the offseason.
Yeah, Sixers are the biggest question mark because they can't do much. The biggest thing is Tobias Harris' contract. I can't even see a rebuilding team taking that on, and I don't know what they're going to surround Embiid with if Harden does leave, because Maxine Harris is not enough.
And before we do go, because I did see another tweet. I mean, I just bashed social media, but there's good things about Twitter. It really helps you see different opinions and different perspectives, or just enlightening facts, which is, I didn't know, but obviously he missed time with injury, but that Embiid is 30.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, he's 30. He has not been to the conference finals. He's about to be, that just sounds really scary for that 76, because they did the whole trust the process, we've been in the process for a
while. You gotta start the process over. I just tweeted that today. You gotta start that joint over.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, I just had to let the viewers know, I mean, B's 30. Like, you said the decline is at 32. He just got his MVP, the give me MVP, mm-hmm. And they have to figure out what they're about to build around him, because, I mean, it has to be... If it's just Maxine Harris, they got to get, like, a Fournier type of guy. They need some depth and some defense.
You need another vet score next to him. Because obviously in the playoffs, he can't be relied on, whether it be injuries or – well, it's injuries. Like you said, if he was fully healthy, this might not have happened.
Yeah, for sure.
But let's move to the West. So we got – start off with the Nuggets and Suns. Nuggets and Suns, 6. I think me and – no, Brian might have said 5. Maybe.
Said 5.
He might not, maybe not. I don't want to put that on. I'm going to say, but I did say Nuggets at 6. I'm pretty sure he had Nuggets winning, though.
Yeah, because we were watching game 1 when you went to go put Ace to sleep. And he said, yo, before this game gets out of hand, unless that was you. No, it was Bronson.
No, it was sure. No, it was me. It was definitely
it was you before the joint went out of hand.
And I said, I'm telling you, Nuggets and six.
Okay.
Before this game gets out of hand. Yep.
So I must have been waiting for Bryant's. Okay. Okay. Well, I think you were tough.
Yeah, so I said Nuggets and six. They won in six, and it came down to depth and it's not really coaching, but depth and just – the Booker and KD just went stupid cold in the elimination game. And Monty Williams got fired as a result. I'm not going to focus too much on the Nuggets. Congrats to them. Like, they did what I thought they would do. And that's just it. But for Phoenix, you trade for KD. Trade four first-round picks and Mikal Bridges for KD. You want more than the second round. So that's a tough loss for them. And another thing is, what's next for them?
Chris Paul.
Ayton gave up on them.
He's been like, heavily shot.
Yeah, heavily shot. But Ayton straight up gave up on them. Like, the rib contusion. Out, and before that, we saw, because that was game six, he said he was out. So game five, we saw Booker yelling at Ayton on the bench, like, come on. And Ayton's completely ignoring him. So it's clearly Ayton doesn't want to be there. That's public. Like, he signed with Indiana last year. I saw an Indiana fan tweet, this is the greatest move in history, when the Suns matched the offer. So, yeah, the Pacers. Ayton tried to leave last year, but the Suns needed something at the center, so they decided to bring him back. Mm-hmm. But he has to go now. Real quick, possible fits for him could be Atlanta, like a John Collins and Hunter swap for Ayton.
But nobody wants Collins, but go ahead.
I mean, the Suns need a four bad. They need a powerful bag. That show.
As long as they just want to spot up, then that's fine.
It doesn't even matter. Maybe
that's an MPJ, but no, he's not even MPJ.
Ayton got to go. CP3's the hard one, though. They both have to go, but it's going to be weird because it's KD wanted to go to Phoenix, he said, to help CP3 win a ring. Obviously, CP3's just – every year in the playoffs, he gets hurt. It's unfortunate, but every year he gets hurt when it really matters. And his play has severely declined.
I mean, he's at least 36.
He's like 38.
Yes.
Him and Bron, he might be a year older than... No, him and Bron are the same age, I think. Because he came in 2 years after, but he stayed... He went to college.
Yeah,
Bron didn't go to college. So, these two players are going to be very, very hard to shop. The favorite right now for CP3 is the Lakers. And I'm like, why would you put CP3, LeBron... Why would you depend on CP3, Bron, and AD knowing they're all three liable to miss playoff games? If not 40-plus regular season games, because they're probably going to be balanced for playing next year if you do that. So the Suns are left with a lot of questions, and I'll just leave it at that because I want to talk about the next series too. So Shane, Suns and Nuggets.
Yeah, everybody got, like, everyone had basically fangasms about Devin Booker finally having his coming-out party, obviously because KD's there, so they can't just – focus on Booker and double team him. It was nice to see some prosperity from him, but I think we all knew he could hoop and he could score when, you know, teams allowed him to, and that, like, he's not the central focus, but it's not worth it if you can't move past the next round. I mean, yeah, that's definitely a bad L to have. I think I did pick the Suns, so that's for surely my fault. Because I just thought, you know.
My name is Brian, I don't know shit.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, Booker and KD, it on paper it sounds really good. Like, two, like, probably top five scores in the league just hooping. But, I mean, it ain't just pick up hoops. That's what it is. It's not just pick up hoops. And that's the big difference. They don't have the depth. Nuggets for sure outclassed, and they had a ton of bench points. And I mean, yeah, I guess I don't even want to stick on it too long, but yeah, CP3, he has to go. I don't know what they about to do with that man.
He gonna end up a Wizard. I guarantee, like, we the only team that needs a point guard for real. I guarantee we're gonna do something stupid like that.
And the Lakers, obviously, they don't want. If it seems like, honestly, if you go to see, if you get whoever gets CP3 is making the playoffs, but not winning the finals, because he clearly has the bug. You went and grabbed KD. You've seen the Warriors do. Obviously, they're a different team, different dynasty, and they had success before. But you see the Warriors say, oh, let's grab KD. Oh, two more finals. They grab KD. No conference finals. So, yeah, I mean, kudos to the Nuggets. I'm glad that Jokic is going to get out there. No more criticism on what's up with the foreign. Like, foreign guys are dominating the league, but they're not getting no chips. Mm-hmm. This guy's one step closer. He has a good team around him. And I could honestly see the same from Luka if he had a team, though. But Jokic is definitely, I think Jokic might be a different level. I think he's a different level. Just because his,
could be.
They both had the same amount of playmaker, but it's just, yeah. It's just, there ain't nothing you could do with Jokic. I mean, honestly, you could throw a ton of bodies at Luka, but you could throw a body on Jokic. He gonna get to the bucket. He gonna get the ball on the glass.
Yeah,
he's gonna crash the glass. But yeah, that's all I got for that series.
And the last thing I'm gonna say is the Suns are really stuck with the CP3 thing because the all trading four first round picks means y'all have no first round picks to package with CP3. So in return, it's gonna be a bad trade. Probably whatever y'all get back is probably gonna be like two role players. But then again, y'all need depth, so we'll see. Let's move to the Lakers and Warriors series before we do our predictions. Lakers, Warriors. Lakers close out in six. I had Warriors in six or seven, and I said it was because the Lakers would have no match to that backcourt. Little did I know, it was just Steph. Like there was no other. There was no Clay. There was no Poole. Wiggins. Like he's not gonna lead you to a win. So it's. I don't know if this is the end of the dynasty for the Warriors. It's just interesting that LeBron would actually beat them at age 38 in the playoffs. I really thought the Warriors would win. I'm glad the Lakers did, though.
Yeah, that's what I said, I think. I said, I think the Warriors would win, but
yeah,
I want the Lakers to win.
Right. So. Clay just, I don't know what you do with that team. Like, I think you got to trade Poole, but it's like his value just shot completely down the playoffs, which I don't think, if he gets a fresh start, he won't. I think he will be much better.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Draymond could opt out to get more money, so it's like you have two big decisions to make with them two, and it's what do you want to do in that dynasty? Because it could be over Bob Myers. I know his contract's up, and he could be exploring teams. I know the Suns are interested in him, and the Suns have a new owner, so that he's trying to. He's not shy of spending money to get what he wants. He got KD. His first day on the job, he traded four first round picks for KD. Immediately after the Suns lost to the Clippers, he asked for Monty Williams to be fired without consulting James Jones, who was the GM of the Suns. So this owner is about winning right now. He doesn't care about anything else. He'll drop any amount of dollars on it. So I don't know what's next for the Warriors. Lakers, I'm glad they did win, though. That's very impressive for them to take down the Warriors.
No stain on James. Quote unquote legacy.
Yeah, so
tough legacy.
That's it. Lakers will play the Nuggets next round. So Shane, Lakers, Warriors.
Yeah, I'm spending most of the time on the Warriors. It's really hard to like full commit on it because the Warriors were the Warriors. I'm gonna say it right now. Fuck it. I just think those dudes out there washed. Seth for Steph. I mean, I still don't even know how Steph would look in any other system other than the Warriors. Obviously, I think he's going to end his career still on the Warriors, no matter where anyone else goes. I think he'll probably have his – he has to have his 30 retired at some point. But, yeah, you're not getting much from Klay. I think he was – I feel like he was a regular season bomb, and we gave him the pass because he's going to come through in the playoffs. We need to get rid of Game 6. Klay, I think, needs to be – Game 6 brick, like something else, because it's not. I feel like at this point he's had one Game 6. At this point,
he literally has.
Yeah, like it's just not. He's such a meme. Actually, he's so bad of a meme. On Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to the viewers, moms, if you guys are watching. I was talking to Lore while I was at dinner with the fam. And she says, I've been hearing about Klay Thompson's name on Twitter a lot. She's like, is he good? I'm like, he's probably one of the better shooters of all time. But he's like, why are they talking about him? I'm like, because he's not shooting well. She's like, well, why does he keep shooting? And he says, if someone's talking bad about him, like, what, why? He's like, I told her, the only thing you need to know about Klay is that whatever his response when he gets criticized is this.
Yep, the
boring. And lo and behold, she found a tweet within like 5 minutes of the replies of him going like this. Because I'm like, bro, that's all he... I mean, and it's congrats. You got your 4 ring. I mean, that's tough. But it's over. I mean, you don't have to... I'm not one of those guys who says you're only as good as your last game, but he... I don't know if I would say hang it up, but he has to do something. I mean, his game isn't... You know, even though he's a shooter, his game isn't, like... It's not the same.
Well, there are reports now that the Warriors are asking him to take a pay cut.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard about that.
So that's crazy already.
I heard about him taking a pay cut. He'll do it if he knows it's best for him. Who knows what could possibly happen? You said the GM or owner is in what now mode?
The Suns.
Oh, the Suns. My bad, mm-hmm. My bad. Because, yeah, they got rid of Monty after KD said, fuck him. So, Warriors-wise... I think Poole needs a... He had an insane monster game one, I think it was it. Was that it? Because I know... I think turning point of the series for him... It might not have been a monster game one, because I see
his face. What is a monster game for him at this point? 11 points?
Oh, then maybe it was game two or something. But
you see.
I think he got... Because he was hooping. I think he scored 21 in game one, I thought. But what happened while he's looking it up was either he was scoring or the series was normal. And then he took the fucking limitless range three. And
he had 21 in game one, then 6, 5, 0, 11, 7.
Yeah, he had more. He ended up with like more fouls or close to the same amount of fouls as points to end the series. So I think after game one, something must have happened. Once he took the three, he probably took a lot of criticism. Because, I mean, people were talking about, like, why are you taking that shot? It was, you know, this is a kind of debated topic, which... You're open. If you're open, shoot it, but kind of space it out so you don't have to take such a far three. That was my take. But I mean, he started the season with the off-season drama with Draymond, who is obviously – he has, like, rank in that organization. He has rank. I don't care if it's not his fault. It is his fault. He's the guy that kind of – I mean, he's the anchor of that team. So if you got problems with him, it's going to be bad for you. No matter how good or skilled offensively, defensively, like, he is. So, Poole probably just needs a new team to go to. He can call his own. He needs to get out of Steph's shadow, become his own player, and just hoop naturally. And I think he can get a lot of it. He seems like a dude who needs to play free in order to excel and not have, like, either criticism or he needs to be great. He needs to follow Steph's shadow. Like, all that's probably a lot of pressure on him. And, I mean, if he was, I'm not saying he's not great, but some people don't surmount to that pressure, sure. But I think it'd be better if he was in a new spot, if they were to just kind of say, screw the dynasty. I mean, they got what they got. They milked it. Steph is, what, 35? He's still hoop. He did kind of have a couple bad, like, game six and seven. Well, no, game six. He was, like, 9 for 24 still or something like that, which, like, probably 25, 26 points. So, when we actually look back at his stats, it's not like he was still carrying the team, but when you're 35-year-old Steph, there's so much you can do with no, it's not no help, but nobody really showing up. So, and I've been ranting, but yeah, I say all that to say, I think the Warriors should just like cut it, try to figure out what they're going to do for the next like run that they can do. It was nice while it lasted for sure. Love it. It changed the entire scope of the NBA. And they've done what they need to do. They're very accomplished, but I think it's done. So.
Yeah, very well could be, because everybody else around them is just younger and better, or getting better. So it could be.
Except for the Blazers.
Yeah, except for the Blazers. So we can get right into the predictions. Start with the East. So we have Heat and Celtics going at it, best out of seven. Just going to pull up the group chat to give them those guys predictions out the way. So we got Brian with Celtics in six over the Heat. I'm going to go with the same thing, Celtics in six. I think that team, even though I feel like Jimmy seems like one of those players that can't be doubted right now, but Celtics is just too deep. Like, it's overall way too deep. But so give me Celtics in six. Let me see. Q, the Heat fan, obviously has Heat in six. And Keem has Celtics in six as well. Shane, what you got?
Man, I was going to tell Q to bet. If he thinks that he won six, put that down for probably $10. You might win $1,000. Because I just, if the Heat win, it's going to be in seven. But I'm going to go Celtics in six.
All right. For the West, we got Nuggets and Lakers. Brian got Lakers in six. Q got Nuggets in seven. King has Lakers in six. Give me Nuggets in six. I think that one home court advantage. Denver, everyone plays in Denver says it's no joke there. Obviously the altitude. And you know, Lakers are a little older team. So I think altitude mixed with off of the running around that the Nuggets do around Joker. Like, because that's a constant movement team. Like, you don't just stay still and watch Joker move. Like, no. When Joker has the ball, everybody's moving around, sending picks, getting open. So, I think that's going to be a lot for the Lakers. And I think the X-Factor is going to be Bruce Brown. Like, I think that's the player that literally moves around the most. He just finds open holes in the paint, and he maneuvers. Like, he's tough. Last round, I want the Lakers to win, though. But I think the Nuggets could be a little too much for the Lakers. So, Shane.
So, I'm going to start it off, say Lakers and six. I will say that. I'm not going to back down from it. My main reason I say that is because, not going to lie, this is probably, I'm going to call it a momentum thing. Obviously, the Nuggets took down the Suns. Big whoop. But, I mean, I really don't know if the Lakers knew that they were beating the Warriors. I mean, obviously with Bron on your team, Bron probably believes he's doing whatever. He probably believes he's winning the next chip. But with that said, beating the defending champs, they probably have some type of chip on their shoulder. They're saying, yo, we just handled it against the guys who won it last year. We can push through it. I thought the issue was going to be the Lakers couldn't keep up with three-pointers, which was going to be the biggest thing, but we noticed that, you know, that whole thing is a weird opposite because, you know, they got the free throw disparity thing that everyone wants to blame, but they literally drive almost every play.
And the Warriors foul the most. They led the league in fouls and no free throws. They don't get fouled.
Yeah, so that's why that's not a topic over here.
Because y'all play small. Y'all foul all the bigs. Like, come on now.
So, it'll be interesting dynamic because I think the Nuggets might almost, they probably don't attempt as many as the Warriors, but they probably kind of score around the same clip, if not better, because of the shooting woes that Thompson had, the inefficiency from Jordan Poole. I think you swap those for, I guess you swap Curry for Murray, but MPJ, that's a guy who's bound to have a game any game. I think that's what it is. I don't think he'll have a game every game, but he will have a game until someone decides he's not having one. But if no one decides, like, I don't think there's a body out there. I'm not saying he's unguardable, but I don't know who really about to, like, strap him. Because AD's going to have his hands full with Jokic if he even gets out there. I saw a tweet as soon as the Lakers won it. Is Mo Bamba going to get some play time out there?
Like, I forgot he was on that team.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, I think it'd just be a really good series. That's the really, like, the good thing about playoff basketball. You get to see matchups and coaching, like, back-to-back, just not, you know, like, as in tomorrow and then the next day because obviously they need a rest. Yeah, Lakers and six. X-Factor for the Lakers, D-Lo.
I said that last series too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First Murray's a good matchup.
Yeah, I like it. Obviously, we can all say Austin Reeves, but I'm not sold on the guy yet. I mean, he had some games, but I'm definitely not sold on him. It's not like he's like the golden boy for the Lakers because he's very inconsistent. I mean, streaky. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to, you know, say he's not good, but I'm not, and definitely not just bad, but I think maybe he might have been a little gassed from all the running around he had to do guarding Steph. Because, I mean, when you did say, you know, everyone's moving around Jokic, it is slightly different from the Warriors because you're running people off the three-point line more so instead of, like...
You have somebody that can look over the whole defense,
yeah, Joker. And you're not switching on to Jokic because he's going to dominate. Like, people can switch to Draymond. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people are switching, you know, pick and rolls or, you know, running off of screens to chase that. Anyone can chase that. I mean, you saw Bron. That defense is not going to fly over in Denver. He says, yo, you're not Steph. I'm running away. Like, if you ain't Steph, I'm not guarding you. They have to guard those dudes out there. Whether it's Aaron Gordon, he'll probably take some. If people are just like that, not guarding people is not going to be a thing come conference finals. Like, that's a different, like, level of play. Like, they're not to be taken lightly. No one except for Jared Vanderbilt.
Yeah, so before we get to the game part of the show, I'm done with predictions. I want to get off a playoff rant of mine. So, playoffs are an interesting thing because this time of the year that everybody is watching, even the people that took the year off, shout out Q, who we know doesn't watch regular season, but it goes for everybody. A lot of people don't watch regular season. They start watching during the playoffs. And that's when the wildest takes form. Like, we obviously saw what Jimmy Buckets did to the Bucks. He took them down in 5 or 6, something like that. I think it might have been 5. I don't know.
I think it was 6 because people were saying Giannis played half the series when it was actually 2.5
games. Oh, yeah. Games. So, so the Bucks. So Jimmy B took down the Bucks, then just took down the Knicks. And, you know, people are all like, yeah, this guy, you know, when it matters, he shows up. But it's like, okay, but what about the regular season? Because, like, well, Jimmy B certified top 10. It's like, is he? Like, just because we know what he's going to do in the playoffs, like, yes, that is very important. I'm not knocking that. But this is when, like I said, the wildest takes form. Because this is when everybody's watching. Everybody wants to make these stupid takes. And now, like, we ignore, same thing with Harden and Houston. We ignore all the regular season when the playoffs come. Oh, he's not showing up. And it's like, we got to stop. We got to throw that out the window. Like, y'all got to watch the entire season. Because by this time of the year, these dudes are dragging their bodies into the playoffs. Like, every single person. LeBron's 38. He's dragging his body. We saw Giannis wasn't fully healthy. Even the year he won the ring, he wasn't fully healthy. He had like a meniscus sprain or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, this, it just, not it doesn't count, but y'all, we really got to get in the mindset of watching everything and not just using these small sample sizes, even though they are important. Like, people now, like, I saw a tweet yesterday. It might have been today, actually. It was today. It said, who's the best player in the world now? It was a graphic of Tatum, Giannis, Joker, Embiid, and Steph. And it's like, would y'all even throw Tatum in here if it wasn't for the game 7 he played yesterday? Like, he's not a top 5 player. And then I made the response that LeBron not being the best player in the NBA anymore opens up such a large debate on who's the best player because all these players are so flawed. All these players. And LeBron, not saying he's perfect, but he has the least amount of, prime LeBron had the least amount of flaws. Like, Joker is defense. Embiid is obviously staying healthy. Tatum is just being consistent. And it's crazy to say that about Tatum because he averaged 30. First Celtic to do that since, I think, Bird or maybe before Bird. So, it's This playoff thing, man, we just got to watch the whole season. Like, we can't go off these samples. Steph's not clutch in the last 45 seconds of games. But let it be between a minute and a half and 46 seconds, he is clutch.
It's like, a bro, joke. It's
we have to use everything, not just the playoffs. Like, things happen in the playoffs. Context matters. And that's all I'm going to say. So let's get into the game part. Now, you got something?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm about to say, I'm glad you got that off. I mean, and this isn't, you know, a rant show or whatever, but you do got to get that off because, like, these statistics are very tailored, and that's why I'm glad Ian has a podcast called Stats versus Facts because we probably even said this, like, years ago, honestly, back when stats became such a super popular thing to go by. Obviously, stats matter. They definitely do. But you can tailor them to however you want based off what you like. We want the statistic to be a, like, encompassing one. We don't want it to be one that is very, like, say, like, the narrative. If you want to push the narrative that Steph isn't clutch, you could say, you know, within the last, like you said, 45 seconds of a game, he's like 0-for-5 in shot attempts or whatever in game sevens. But let it be game 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1 in those last 45 seconds, probably even possibly down, and say he's actually 9-for-12 within, you know, those 45. It's very tailored. Like, you have to look and make sure they're not being too detailed in the statistic that they're finding, because, like, it makes a difference. Like, if you just got to sit as a viewer, I'm sorry, like, and pay attention to what anyone's telling you, because it can really persuade you to think differently about these players who actually are good and have a legacy to maintain. Like, to even talk about, like, say, I know we're talking basketball, but even like Justin Herbert, just to go into like football, like, say the only 25-year-old to not smoke marijuana, to drive exactly 54 miles per hour while throwing 3 touchdowns per game. Like, they just add this one thing at a specific time frame to make it stand out. Like, they're the first player. It is the first person to tie their shoes with 13 minutes left in the game. Like, come on, bro. Like, we're not. It's not okay to just push these narratives and really only pay. Like, obviously, this does matter the most. We'll say playoff basketball is when you really make your name, finals, whatever. But you don't give them their career solely based off what is happening in these seconds and minutes of the game. So, and I just had to add that part on. So there was more, but I'm not going to go on.
Yeah, and just last thing I'm going to say is stuff. It mainly applies to stuff like Harden and Embiid. Like, Embiid, everybody's like, oh, MVP didn't show up. And it's like, bro, we have to realize he was the – not saying he's excused or anything, but he was the MVP in the regular season, yes. That's when he dominated. He also got hurt. Harden, same thing. Like, we say – I put the poll up today about Harden and Kyrie, and it's a lot closer than I thought it would be. But it's like, y'all are going off of what y'all saw yesterday, and y'all are basing his career off his playoffs, which should matter. It should play 50% of the role, but it's like, okay – if he's not showing up, if he's showing up for games 1-6 and it's cold in game 7, now he's just not a good player. And that's crazy. Like, same thing for, like I just said about Embiid. This man just won the MVP, and everybody's like, oh, the MVP's out the second round. MVP didn't make the conference finals. MVP this. MVP, yes, he's the MVP of the regular season. Like, don't keep saying that. Like, the MVP does not win the ring every single year. They just don't. Definitely. We saw Giannis get MVP and get out in the first round in 5 games against the Heat in the bubble.
Jokic back-to-back MVPs.
Jokic back-to-back MVPs didn't make conference finals either season. Because the season he made it, conference finals was when Giannis won MVP. So, just, y'all got to separate regular season from playoffs and all that. Like, it's so different. But anyways, Shane, it's just Shane here. And as we know, Shane's terrible at guess the player. So, we have a new version of the game, which is Guess the College.
Oh,
which Shane is, I know a lot of people are going to get these when I upload this. A lot of people are going to get these quick. I'm going to be like, oh, I already knew where so-and-so went. But Shane is terrible at colleges. This is for Shane. Y'all are, for the comments, they're saying this too easy. Just relax. All right, just relax. Because Shane does not know colleges for anything. Like, he don't watch College Hoops for nothing at all. So, I'm going to name some players.
And I know a little bit, though.
I'm going to name players, and you tell me what college you think they went to.
Yeah, that's definitely how it's going to go. Okay, sure.
How many do you want?
How many players?
How many colleges? Because I have a lot loaded up. So you want 1, you want 3, you want 5?
You give me 5.
I didn't think you were going to say 5.
That's no, because I know.
Let's see how long you take first.
Okay, sure.
So let's start with the first one. This school has produced 8 players that are currently in the league. One is no longer league. I'll give you him. That's Brandon Roy.
I'm not going for it now. Go ahead.
You have Matisse Thybulle.
Next.
Isaiah Stewart.
Next.
Terrence Ross.
Next.
Jalen Noel.
Who?
Jalen Noel. He plays for the Timberwolves. He's a wing. Okay. DeJounte Murray.
Damn.
Jaden McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And Markelle Fultz.
Damn.
So we have a number one pick out of this group. Now, I will give you hints about the school. So the state where the school is a basketball-heavy state. Like, it's produced.
North Carolina.
Nah. not North Carolina, but it has produced, the state itself has produced some NBA players. They might not have went to this school, but they were from the state.
Like PG County.
Right, sure. And this state also runs a famous pro-am every year.
Damn. That sucks. But I do know, like, pro-ams, but I don't know where the states be at. Okay. Go ahead. I need another hint. Or do I need to guess or
something? Yeah, start guessing.
Guess a college?
There's no... Now, for this one, there's an unlimited amount of guesses, but there's a time limit. We need 2 minutes. So you can throw... Just throw
guessing colleges?
Yeah.
Wyoming.
No, definitely not Wyoming, but that's actually somewhat... Location-wise, it's close.
No, it's not. Markelle Fultz came out of here.
Mm-hmm. Number one pick. You can ask questions if you need to.
Is it on any coast?
West Coast.
Okay. Cool. Alright, so is California the state that runs the pro-am?
No, it is not California.
Damn, okay.
The school is the state name, though.
Oh. The school is the state name. Like, so the school is a state, basically. Right. Alright. Damn, it's West Coast?
Mm-hmm.
So, Washington... Oregon, no.
I don't know if you... Are you guessing these or what?
I'm guessing Washington.
Washington is the State? Answer. It Washington is it's Washington University.
Just Washington?
Washington University.
But they're not in the March Madness, are they?
What do you mean March Madness?
Like, are they a ranked school?
They didn't make the tournament this year.
Do they usually make the tournament?
I mean, they're in the Pac-12. They're in a power conference.
Okay.
You know what other players are from Washington?
Hell no. I don't know one player that's from other than the people you named.
Zach LaVine and Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford hosts the Seattle Pro-Am every year.
Ah, okay. So, hold on. That's the same. So, Fultz went from Maryland over down to Washington to hoop?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, next school. These players, let's go... We got
Washington State.
Miles Bridges.
That's my boy.
Gary Harris. Denzel Valentine.
Oh, I hate him.
Brian Forbes.
Okay.
Zach Randolph. Okay. Jason Richardson. Jaren Jackson Jr. And Draymond Green. What school is this?
I'm going to just do my one guess immediately just because it just sounds... I feel like I don't know. I definitely don't know. So this is definitely a guess. I'm going to say Oklahoma.
No.
Man, I could see Draymond in the Sooners jersey. I don't know why. Okay.
Get your questions and guesses out. Remember the time limit.
Yeah, there's a time limit. Are they in that Super 10 or whatever you call it?
They're in a Power 5 conference
Power
for sure.
Power 5 conference.
They have a Hall of Fame coach.
Hall of Fame coach.
You would know it if I said the name,
Kansas,
but you wouldn't.
Not Kansas, Kentucky. They definitely don't go there. They get real hoopers, not Draymond.
This school produces them dogs. Draymond, Jaren Jackson, Bridges, Gary Harris, the muscle players. So Tillman. Tillman and Jaren Jackson were there at this school at the same time.
Who's the Tillman?
Xavier Tillman, yeah. The center for Grizzlies. Jaren Jackson, the power forward of the Grizzlies.
I'm trying to think of some more questions. Have they won a championship? Never?
No, they've won the title.
Michigan State.
There we go. Okay, we gave it away.
I respect Michigan State as a college, because I think they're good in... They might be good in football, too. I don't know.
They're better in basketball.
They're the Spartans, though, right?
You know who their coach is?
No, but didn't they have the Fab Five?
No, that's Michigan.
Okay.
Their coach is Tom Izzo. I know you know the name.
Who?
Tom Izzo.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Next school, we got Mike Conley.
Okay.
D'Angelo Russell.
Ooh.
Michael Redd.
Oh.
And Greg Oden.
Damn.
We can also throw in Jared Sullinger and Evan Turner.
Then that gave it up. I know those two dudes for sure.
What is it? So what's
Ohio State.
Ohio State, okay.
I played 2K, and they was in the little combine or whatever.
Okay,
so
okay.
So the middle of my career, I was facing that nigga at the turn.
So we can run through five, then. You're getting these.
Yes.
All right. Second to last one. Doesn't have too many names, but for a reason. They have Derrick Rose, Tyreke Evans.
Okay.
And who is, he went there and is now the coach there, Penny Hardaway.
Damn. That fucked me up. Sounds like athletic guard to you, but not necessarily.
It was the coach.
The coach was that?
The coach from this school left and made a powerhouse at another school.
Calipari?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't
know. It is Calipari, correct. See, the coach is Calipari.
I know he left, bro. Mm-hmm. I just don't know
where he started. He left this school to go to Kentucky, and then he...
I don't know where he started.
Well, he didn't start here.
Well...
He actually started at UMass. Marcus Camby was his was a
yeah, because that was some guest player stuff. I said, "What the hell?" Is it in Florida?
No.
Okay. Is it in Texas?
No.
Okay. Those are like
big. You can ask whatever you want. It's no limits on questions.
I know. Guesses.
Will Barton also went here, and Precious Achiuwa.
Yeah, bruh.
James Wiseman also went here. And Jalen Duran. I don't know why he's not. Maybe I'm wrong about him. I don't think, no, I know he went here.
Is it Oklahoma?
No.
Okay. I don't know why I keep saying that, bruh.
It's kind of close location-wise.
Are they usually a ranked March Madness team, like top 25?
Now they are, since they got Penny as coach.
Does he bring in people? Not, that's not even a part of the question. Yeah. But
okay. He brought in James Wiseman and Jalen Durant.
Because he coaches it. And the school is good, obviously.
Okay. Yeah, Jalen Durant did go here. Had to confirm.
Arkansas.
Nope, but kind of close, location-wise. It's that Midwest-ish region.
Mississippi State.
No.
I don't even know how to ask a question about this. This is like, I don't know none of them people. You said it's like kind of close to Arkansas.
Yeah, the name of this school is a city in the state.
Like Cincinnati.
Correct.
Is that it?
No.
Oh, shit. damn. I don't know. I don't even know how to. They're a good school. Huh?
The color of the school is blue.
Blue? Yeah, like the Jayhawks.
There's a professional team in this same team city. So they both share the same city.
NBA?
Mm-hmm. And the NBA's team that's there, their star player was just in the news.
Oh, it's Memphis.
Okay, it is Memphis. But what's the mascot? Let's see if we can get some mascot now.
The mascot of the school?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
In Memphis Tigers.
Tiger.
Penny is the coach there. So last one. This is the hardest one for you right here.
I bet I knocked it out.
Let's see. Players this school has produced currently are Chris Middleton, DeAndre Jordan.
Nah.
Robert Williams.
I'm done.
Alex Caruso. I think that's it for current players.
Did he actually make did he make All-NBA second?
He made All-NBA defensive first team.
But I swear there was a random white defensive dude that won first.
It was Caruso. That was just...
No. Not all NBA first. It was Caruso. So who won all NBA second?
Defensive or white regular?
Dude, I think.
On defensive?
Because you said it was they were competing or something like that. Yeah, defensive.
Maybe. Derrick White.
Derrick White, yeah.
Okay. Derrick White's not white.
Yeah. No, yeah, he's maybe not, but his name is White. Yeah. It's just a random, like, I feel like that's very, not random, but all right.
And Daniel House.
Clemson. I just had to get that out there. It's crazy because I swear DeAndre Jordan's not even talented. He's just tall and athletic. But there's no like formula for these guys.
Yeah, I was just about to say there's no mold for this.
Yeah, there's no
Middleton, formula. DeAndre, Robert Williams, Caruso, and Daniel House.
Is it state on one of the coasts? Is it bordering Canada?
I would kind of, I guess technically West Coast. It's
definitely not bordering Canada. So somewhere
I would say more, I would just say South though. All
right. So
the NBA team, Vegas, yes, they're in Texas.
Okay, Texas. That's nice. Not Dallas only got no fucking college team to do that. That's crazy.
They're probably just not divisions. Just, they're like Georgetown football. Probably just suck.
Texas. Texas State. Texas Tech.
No.
Okay. Why did the niggas go to tech school?
Texas. Your boy went to Texas Tech, though.
Nah. Who?
Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. But you know how he sounds.
A star football player did come from this school, though.
A star football player came from the school.
Mm-hmm. He was a bust, though, but he was, an amazing,
running back?
Nah. He was, if the NIL deal was around when this man was in college, he would have racked it up, too. But he didn't even need to because he was rich.
Mm-hmm. Reggie? No, he went to USC. Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out. It's not a running back, right?
Nope.
He would have made some bucks, though, but he was already rich. Mm-hmm. Damn, I'm trying to think of this nigga. Football player, how recent or how old? Older?
He's in another league right now.
XFL?
I don't know what league it is, but I know he's in another league.
The NFL player?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cooked. Not El Paso. I'm thinking of another type of Texas name. Yeah, I think you might have me stumped right here. It's not not Houston, because I don't know nothing about no Houston college.
It is not Houston.
Not Dallas. Not Texas Tech, Texas A&M.
Texas A&M. Yeah,
damn myself. I'm going to get a Texas name.
Texas A&M. Who's that football player?
Johnny
Manziel. There we go. All right. There we go. So that's when Shane's just on here. That's how we're gonna do against the college. We're gonna get his college experience right.
Yes, sir.
But other than that, man, we're gonna be back this weekend with Brian back up here to recap some of the games that happened this week. We just wanted to get on here to give y'all our predictions and recap the last round games. So other than that, Shane, anything for the people?
Just hope y'all stay safe. Keep tuning into the podcast. Let us know how we can make it better.
That's it. So, Stash for Facts podcast. We're going to catch y'all this weekend. We out.